Hey, 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 good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Hey, how's everybody doing? Yes, you've heard me ask that all the time, time and time again. But I'm asking you, how are you doing today? Me? You guessed it. I'm doing pretty dang good. Because I'm alive, I had some food. Maybe it wasn't the best of all foods, but hey, belly is feeling good, so I'm feeling all right. Anyhow, today, my conversation is with Brittany and Oliver. So they are a married couple, and they have a business, or we'll call it an organization of students, performers, instructors, and many other things. But what they do is they run this organization that works with stage theatrics, and more specifically, violence and combat in stage theatrics. And they do this to make it safe for both the performers and for the audience to enjoy and to see the realism. But it's more than just that. You're going to hear our conversation talk a little bit more about their lives and then again about Argent Combat, their organization. So let me read to you right off of their website what it says what their organization is all about. So it is, Argent Combat is a Philadelphia-based organization of students, performers, choreographers, and instructors of theatrical violence and stage combat. So what does all this mean? This is all about safety and proficiency in hand-to-hand and in combat with, I'm going to just call it tools, whether it be sword fighting, whether it be with pistols, all of that. So have a listen, enjoy. Please remember, like, share, and comment. Whatever the algorithm does, that's what they like. And I would appreciate it. So let's get right into it. Oliver, Brittany, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's so nice of you to have us.
If you wouldn't mind just kind of giving that little background, because again, you two are co-founders of Argent Combat. Brittany, you're an executive director of the company. Oliver, you are co-founder, and you are the man. You are the trainer. You're the guy out there teaching.
Yeah, we like to say that Brittany is the brains of the operation, and I'm the right arm. So, So Argent Combat is a stage combat training and fight directing kind of outfit. Stage combat is it's the theatrical discipline of making violent choices on stage, right? So actors can explore hurting other people, being hurt themselves in a safe way, you know. So it's safe for the actors, but it's believable for the audiences. So it's an entire discipline. It happens everywhere. It's obviously it's on stage, but when you talk about it in film, it usually falls under the stunts category. Mm-hmm. But we're more focused on live performance and stage work, just because East Coast Philadelphia is a little more. You're gonna get a little less film, more theater. So I've been training in stage combat since I was in school years and years and years ago. The story I like to tell is when I was in college, they bounced me out of the acting program. Because when you're a junior, you had to audition again. And, you know, juries is kind of the term that was used at the time. But after they were like, well, you know, you're not really at the level we'd like to see you at, but go take some movement, go take some speech, go take some other discipline stuff. And so I was like, okay, yeah, because I wanted to still be a performer. So in movement class, at the end of movement, somebody gave me a sword and everything clicked. So ever since then, it's been like, how do I do more of this? How do I do more of this? Unfortunately, here, there are a number of very good organizations that teach stage combat. The biggest one in the States is the Society of American Fight Directors. And I was fortunate enough to go to their national workshop. And when I came back home to Philadelphia after school, there is a teacher at this time, he's now a fight master in the organization, Ian Rose, who taught privately. Generally speaking, there were not many teachers teaching privately. Most of them were teaching in university setting. So having graduated from university, it was very fortunate that I happened to be in Philadelphia, where one of the only teachers who was teaching privately also happened to be. And I went and started hanging out with him, and here we are 15 years later, and I still hang out with him all the time. And at that time, he was, and at this time, he was teaching at Temple University in Philadelphia, where Brittany went to school.
That's when I come in.
You're just talking about the your fight master, can I say mentor?
Oh, absolutely. Ian Rose is like, I grew up in a very warm and loving home, and my parents are very wonderful people, but Ian Rose is like having another dad. He's one of the best teachers I've ever met. He's a person who would, as long as you're willing to learn, he will teach you as much as he possibly can.
Gosh. And then Brittany, you came in.
Yeah, this was, I was an upperclassman at Temple at the time. And my journey was a little bit different from Oliver's. What happened to me was about a year before I started taking stage combat with Ian Rose at Temple University, I had gotten injured on a student project. It wasn't even theatrical violence, it was actual violence for a student project. And I had gotten injured, and from there, I hated hurting my colleague, my friend that I was working with, and I, of course, hated getting hurt myself. So I looked and I was like, well, I have some elective classes available in my theater major here at Temple. Oh, Ian Rose, I worked with his wife, Cindy. Cool, I'll go in his class, because Cindy's awesome, so Ian's got to be awesome. You got your teaching certification with the SAFD in 2015. You were choreographing independently at different theater companies and doing different projects. And then you're just like, well, why don't we do that thing that we kind of always wished that one of our mentors did and start a school itself? So that is when we start to set up Argent Combat. Argent Combat's birthday is also December 14th, 2017, when we taught our first class as Argent Combat.
Yeah, so once you, not to correct you, no. Except to correct you, I passed the teacher certification in 2016.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Time is a flat circle. but the Society of American Fight Directors has a rank in the organization, certified teachers. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, in the organization has recognized that, oh yes, you know what you're doing, and we trust you to instruct students, and you can choreograph the adjudication fight. So there's, in the organization, students are allowed to take the skills proficiency test, and it's just, you know, an adjudicator comes in, judges their fight, and is like, oh, I saw all the things that I need to see. Yes, I think that you are safely performing this discipline. Here is a certificate of completion and a certificate that, like, yeah, you know, we think you know what you're doing. So the certified teachers are the people that put those fights together. And once you pass the teacher certification workshop with the organization, and they make you a certified teacher, you're kind of just let back out into the world. And it's a very go hang out your own sign and attract your own students and bring more people into the discipline and get more people involved. And there's a lot of disparate people working all over the place. And what we're trying to do with Argent is to set up kind of an umbrella for the Philadelphia community, which is a very, very robust community. Mostly, again, Ian Rose's fault. He has formulated a very tight-knit, very familial organization of friends and practitioners who are all very supportive. So Philly is one of the best cities across the country for stage combat. Just because the community is so robust and so welcoming and so eager to share. And that's what we're trying to do, is just to be like, here's the umbrella, come learn. And it's very, the idea is it's like a very old timey, like a school, the way you would do it in Europe historically. You know, the master teacher and all of his apprentices all then learn more, and that it's this continuous line of, this is the way we do things. There's many ways to do things, but this is the way that we do them.
You know, a lot of what you're saying really does seem like it's definitely East Coast, one, because of the historical value, because there's so much history over there, you know, North America continent, U.S. history, and you're bringing in authentic combat skills. I think that might be one. The other thing, too, that is, how do I put this, is that your SAFD, you kind of talked about it, is really important for the fact that you have been certified as a trainer and instructor. And I imagine that there must be a handful, at least, of schools or practitioners out there giving some training who have not gone through any type of certification. So they could just be street brawlers saying, hey, come on in and have a course, where, you know, you guys have been certified.
It's a certification process with this organization. There are a lot of different organizations that come from different places, because some people come to the work from performance. Some people come to the work from stunts. Some people come to the work from martial arts. And it's all like, here's where your physical movement training started, and now we're doing this kind of specific thing with it. So yeah, there are lots and lots of different organizations doing lots of different things, but the primary thing that everyone is trying to do is always performer safety first. That's okay. Always the most important thing. And as long as that's like, as long as that's the primary focus, it's after that, it's like, yes, it should look cool. It should look exciting and dangerous and take you to scary places. But as long as the performers are safe, everything else is kind of gravy.
You know, with safety, I mean, Brittany, you said you got injured. This is prior to learning all the proper things. Is there a lot of injury in theatrical combat performance?
I mean, the long and short of it is, so long as it's done correctly and that there's a certified professional there to supervise every action and the performers listen to the safety protocol and follow the choreography, then I'd say what a 99 to 100% chance that there's not going to be any sort of injury. The issues occur when there is any diversion from the techniques that have been taught and the choreography that has been rehearsed and practiced and learned. That's when we run into problems. One case of that, this is more theatrical firearms. I know we've been focusing on swords, but Brandon Lee, perfect example. If just one safety protocol had been followed, we'd still have Brandon Lee with us today.
Yeah, he's kind of the big example. But on stage, there's so many things that can go wrong with the simplest actions. Like the obvious one, the thing that injures people most on stage is a slap.
Really?
So you're performing a scene with somebody, the director's directing, you're in rehearsal, and it comes to the point where one person slaps another. And we all know how to slap somebody. We just pop. But that's incredibly dangerous because your face is full of delicate things. And if you hit it, they can break. So what we do is we build things that look like and sound like you're getting hit in the face, but you're not. Okay. At all, because that's dangerous.
That is actually how I got into stage combat, slaps that went wrong.
All right, so let me ask you this. What about that new sport competition that they have where it's that slap thing? I mean, there's no safety there.
I have a very long speech about
that. Oh, let me hear it.
the long and short of it is that boxing is a blood sport. Football is a blood sport. A lot of athletic competitions have, you know, impact and combat, and not combat, but conflict. But you're all supposed to, in football, you wear a helmet. In boxing, you wear a mouth guard. There are rules to keep you from hurting other people. So this power slap is what it's called. Mm-hmm. is insanely dangerous, and someone's probably going to get killed.
Somebody did get killed.
Somebody did get killed?
Yeah, in Poland. 46 years old. Andre, oh, God, forgive me. I cannot pronounce his last name. He is Polish. But yeah, it was a couple years back. He was actually killed from a power slap. He was only 46.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a slow burn. He was just instant dead.
All right, so a little quick fact check here. Brittany is correct. There was someone that died from that power slap thing. So, and he was a Polish gentleman. He was 46 years of age, and his name is Artur, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But Artur Wallace Walczak. Again, please forgive me for a pronunciation on the name. Now, he is a Polish slap fighter, and he was knocked out in October of 2021 and ended up in a medically induced coma. So she's pretty much right. I mean, bam, slap, he's out. So he died in November of 2021 at the age of 46, and it was due to a traumatic brain injury. So hence, that power slap program is no longer being aired. That show's completely over with, and it's not really known if it was due to that death or if it was due to poor ratings, but nonetheless, it was a very, very dangerous, if we want to call it a sport or whatever you want to call it, it was very dangerous. And again, Brittany is correct. There is someone who died from that slap. So let's get right back into it.
Well, you know, I liken what they do to like a rubber band. I mean, they're just winding up and then just like whack. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's irresponsible. It's dangerous. It is very, very not something I like at all.
Yeah. Wow. And a lot of folks, you know, they think, oh, it's a slap. We see that in comedies. It's lighthearted as far as injuries go. But like, no, if the temple is hit incorrectly, if the eye is hit incorrectly, if the jaw is hit incorrectly, if the ear is hit, if the carotid is hit, that can cause massive detrimental problems. And those are slaps.
Yeah, and the other thing too, you've got this, you know, depends on the size of your hands, but you've got a large surface that's like the size of the whole side of your face, and it's just flat, flat, bam. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just, you're at their show, like your lip, your jaw, your temple, your eye, your ear, your carotid, just so many delicate things. And also if you just apply a lot of force to the side of your head, your brain's going to jiggle.
Yeah.
And that's, it's, there's, nah, so, yeah. So to build a sport around it is not a thing I'm interested in. To put it on stage, here's an actor who's like, I mean, we all have headshots, you know, we all have the 8x10.
The moneymaker, he's right here.
This is the thing you need to take care of. So to just wind up and hit it, no, thank you, no thank you.
Yeah.
And if I can piggyback off that, one of the most common questions we get in regards to the weaponry we have is, are the weapons real? And the thing is, technically, yes, but they are not live blades. They are blanks. They are not real instruments of violence. They are technically theatrical props. What sells a scene of violence on screen and on film is that actors need to imbue these safe devices with that sense of danger, with that sense of fear. And that has to be effective. The thing about slaps is that if you're anticipating a slap, you're going to cringe, you're going to wince. And that is going to compromise the narrative clarity of that story and the performance. So slaps, they look bad and they're harmful.
Yeah, that's
the long and short.
That's the most important thing about stage combat versus real combat. On stage, real combat doesn't look right and doesn't sound right, and it's dangerous. So there's no reason to do it. Mm. Stage combat, everything is specifically built to look right to an observer, right? If I'm in a fight, the most important thing is me and the person I'm fighting. But if I'm on stage, the most important thing is the person looking at me. So it's got to look right to them So we do a lot of things that feels weird and feels wrong, because it is. Like, I've been likening it to stage magic, where the performer makes you think they're doing something while secretly doing other things that just looks like the amazing thing. So it's the same kind of shtick. Like, we do things that look right and sound right, but aren't real.
So it really sounds like you guys go beyond the training of combat, because you're also giving training on how to act and how to, again, perform and perform correctly. Because I understand what you're saying there, Oliver, as far as when you're in a real fight or something real, it's not graceful. It's not theatrical. It won't play out well in a movie or theater combat scene. Whereas you are saying, this is how it's going to look the best. It may not feel right, but this is what people are going to look and say, wow, that's a fight scene. That's a combat.
Yeah. One of our main things with this prestidigitation is not just the importance of safety, but stage combat is a tool that is used to tell a story in the same way that costuming, the script, and scenery can. Where it's a tool, it's a craft. So we help the narrative clarity. When folks ask what the difference between actual violence and theatrical violence is, I ask them a simple question of, have you ever seen CCTV footage of a bar fight? Have you ever witnessed a bar fight in person? And somebody pulls you aside and asks what happened, and you have no idea. That's because a real fight didn't have that narrative clarity. We're pointing it out to you. We're showing you the story.
Wow. That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And YouTube shows plenty of those, and they just don't look right, and they just go by so fast, and like, what happened?
Yeah, that's one of the bad parts about this being the work that we do. And I know that doctors have the same thing when they see like medical dramas, and lawyers have the same thing when they watch like police procedurals and stuff. But it's really hard to watch a lot of fights now, because your eye is just like, oh, you could do it like this, you could do it like So it's hard. So when you find a movie that has a really, really good fight, when you go to see a theater production that has really nice fights, it's like, yeah, that's, but most of the time it's just, I do it like this, I change this around, I want to come over here and...
Oliver, you just walked right into my next question for the two of you, because the two of you are experts. I mean, you literally walked right into it, because I'm going to ask you what you think, and you know where I'm going with this. What do you think of the fight scenes in John Wick is number one, and then Equalizer with Denzel?
I haven't actually seen the Equalizer flicks, unfortunately. The stuff in John Wick is all very, very, very well choreographed. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. I just saw somebody talking about how Keanu basically either invented or very popularized his method of reloading, where he's firing the pistol and he just whips it to the side and the magazine just flies out. And competition shooters have started to do that.
Really?
Because it's a faster way to do things.
Wow.
So
instead of art imitating life, it's life.
Hey, it's fact check time once again. And yes, they're correct. So John Wick, Keanu Reeves, did come up with that move as far as a side swipe for throwing out the magazine and reloading it. So according to the director of the John Wick films, he said that Keanu did come up with that move on his own, independently, without anybody else's comments or advice. And it's also been confirmed that there's a YouTube firearm expert guy, says he's been seen in competition and from his military friends where they have been practicing that move. And apparently it's really fast and very accurate if you get it down. So fact check, 100%. Let's get back on the show. Oh, before we do that, hey, thanks for listening. And please remember, follow, like, subscribe, share, comment, all of that, because it helps. Thanks. Now let's get into it.
Now imitating art.
As you do. So the John Wick flicks are very, very good. Very, very sharply choreographed, very precisely put together. And they're doing what they're trying to do as a, in a world of like very high class, very professional killers. It's really, really good at doing that.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely like a dance scene. So what do you think, Brittany? What are your thoughts on John Wick?
I mean, I'm seconding Oliver. We pretty much share a lot of the same opinions. It is really precise.
If you have not seen the Denzel Equalizer, because they're on the third one now, go watch it, because of the fight scenes.
Check it. Yeah,
the
check it
fight,
out.
The combat, the fight is to me so different but similar, if that makes sense, to the John Wick series, because there's less of a dance, less of this choreography dance, and more of an intent, if that makes any sense. So I love them both.
And during film stuff and stage stuff are similar and different. Film, obviously, like, you set up the shot, you do the shot, but you're filming it in a very specific order of we're going to do all of the things that need to do this, then we're going to do all the things that we need to do this. When you're working on stage and you have a 2-hour show that has a big fight at the end, the actors have their whole 2-hour performance, and they have to keep the big enough juice to get through the fight at the end. They can't just come back and do it again tomorrow because it didn't go off well. You have to nail it live, and it's a different set of skills, and it's you kind of get that when you see, like, in John Wick, when they set up a big one-er, like a long shot that where the camera moves around, but there aren't any cuts, and you just have to start at the top and just go all the way through. And that's a lot of fun, and that's like what working on stage all the time is like. You have to start at the beginning and go all the way through to the end.
What I wanted to really ask you, or make a comment, because it seems like your combat school really goes beyond just combat and stage and theatrics. It really seems like you are also about social awareness and inclusivity in things. So, am I reading too much into that, or?
Nope.
Okay.
You're very vocal about it. Yeah, it's one of the big things that we immediately aspired to do when we started to set up Argent Combat. It's like, we need, and no offense, darling, we need less cisgender, hetero white guys with swords. We want more people who are anything but that. That representation in media and on stage is needed, not just for kids that are growing up and want to pursue careers in the arts, but for adults too that didn't have that representation growing up. So our big quest was to figure out, how do we amplify the marginalized? How do we become advocates? And the easy solution for that was, listen to them, take a step back, listen to them. We don't need the spotlight. Let's spotlight all these people that have deserved it for years. And we haven't really shied away from it. We spoke out against Asian hate. We spoke out against the January 6th insurrection. We spoke in support of Black Lives Matter. We speak in support of the LGBTQIA community. And we make sure that we are not getting our words minced at all. We just want to make sure that that's incredibly clear, that we are a safe place for those people to learn this art of stage combat, whether it's because they're enthusiasts, it's a thing that they've always wanted to do, whether it's a career choice for them, whether they're a movement artist that just wants to explore different ways of expressing themselves through movement. We just want to be that safe haven, because the more diversity we have, the cooler this, like, the more diverse the threads that we let in, the cooler the tapestry that we're building, you know? Beige isn't necessarily a cool color. we don't want to be all beige. Let's go.
Dang, yeah, it's... like I said, it just going to your website, there's a wealth of information. And that's one of the first things that popped into my mind is your social awareness, your inclusivity. And this is a total side note, but I think it's a fantastic thing to give a place where people can feel safe and to do what they maybe have always wanted to do. Maybe they want to pursue as being a stunt person. Maybe they want to do a reenactment, but you know, this could be that some folks think that I'm going to call it violence might have triggered something in them. So they're afraid, mm-hmm. but you offer that safe environment for them to know that, no, this is safe and we are all here to help each other and to like and love. And, you know, it's.
Yeah. One of the most important things whenever you're doing a discipline, that's a very partner discipline, and stage combat is right up there, because it's tricky to have a fight by yourself. I'm not going to say it's not possible, but it's usually better to have another person that you can have some conflict with. But it's, you know, safety obviously is the primary thing, and one of the most important things about that is taking care of your partner. It's making sure your partner is set up, your partner looks good, that you're not trying to hog all of the attention to yourself, that you're trying to make the other person look great, because it's that interpersonal, that conflict relationship that is really interesting to watch and really fun for the audience.
Yeah, it's almost, I don't want to call it a misnomer, but it's almost like an oxymoron that it's called stage combat, because it's a collaborative art. It's not combat, it's collaboration. And it has so many, like, going beyond the surface level and face value, there are so many things that are incredibly contrary to the story that it tells, in that, for example, we call the receiver, the person receiving the violence, and not the operator, the person enacting the violence. The receiver is the one in control of the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has been very huge, and I think us just using that language as well, of receiver and operator, and ensuring folks that the receiver is in control, has really helped a lot of folks who have struggled with that sort of mentality in the past, of not being in control. And I think that is probably one of the big reasons why, at this point, at least from our last student survey that we conducted to determine who's our demographic, who we need to speak to more, 52% of our student demographic identifies LGBTQIA as assigned female at birth or femme people and BIPOC. So these are the folks that we need to know. You are strength. Like, you are empowered. You have strength. You are strong. Even when we're enacting a scene in which you are the receiver. If that makes any sense. I feel like I was kind of, I started like following a thread, and then it kind of got frayed at some point. I got really passionate about the thing, so words didn't work out so great.
Nah, it's okay. It's the person who has violence done upon them is the person who's in control of the situation. So if someone grabs someone and throws them across the room, there is, here we got the grab, and then I'll tell you where I'd like you to go, and then when you go there, I'll follow you along. Mm-hmm. But the person receiving the action is actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. So if they need to bail out of the scene, bail out of the moment because something has gone wrong, or they've their feet are bad, or they've tripped or something, mm-hmm. it's everything's safe, and I'm not actually grabbing anyone or throwing anyone anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just, hey, go over here, would you? Okay, great.
I would imagine that this has, and I think you used the word too, like a conflict resolution. It would teach people in also, I think, in real life world, real life situation, like danger, move away, or something to that effect. Is that an intent, or is that like a byproduct of this combat theatrical stage training?
It's a little of both, and I'll give you some fancy quotations we like to use. And one of them is cut for stage, parry for real. And what that means is, when I'm attacking you with a weapon, I'm attacking in a way that is not dangerous, right? I'm putting things in specific places where I'm not actually trying to do violence upon you. when I'm defending myself with a weapon, I'm defending myself with a weapon the way that you would. If you watch a fencing match and you see how the blades move around, we do those blade actions legitimately. These are legitimate defensive actions that are designed to keep you safe, even though the attacks are not designed to hurt you. But just in case somebody trips or somebody, or you go to an audition and having a lot of experience and someone who is attacking you doesn't not have a lot of experience, we build things in specifically to keep you safe, right? So cut for stage, parry for real. But the other side of that, and talking about conflict resolution, is there's a difference between trying to win and trying to tell a good story. Like when you're in a fencing match or a boxing match or an MMA sparring match, you're trying to win. But when you're on stage, somebody's going to lose, and if you're still trying to win but the choreography says that you lose, you're not telling the right story. So embracing the I'm the one that gets stabbed, I'm the one that gets thrown to the ground, I'm the one that gets tossed off of this building, like it can be, it's a different mindset, but it can be a lot of fun. And it's that whole like, oh, I don't have to win everything I'm trying to do. And which, you know, is very helpful when you're, you know, you have situations where maybe in the real world you're having an argument with somebody and getting out of the head where like, I have to win this argument. Be like, well, do I have to win or should I? No. What? Maybe we just resolve the conflict and I don't have to win. Because then it's a lot easier when two people who both have to win this argument, it's really hard to come to a resolution. But when you have the whole like, well, I don't have to win, how do I resolve the problem? Maybe that's helpful in the real world. It's a thing. I don't know. I've just been thinking about it a lot for no particular reason.
I'm going to go back and say that a lot of what I'm hearing and what I read and see from the photos going on your website, you know, where folks can go to ArgentCombat.com. I don't want to read into it, but there is a lot of interpersonal skills happening here. There's a lot of conflict resolution. It's social awareness, a lot of that. So I look at what you guys are doing as more than just a stage and theatrical training. You're really giving people real life experiences.
Well, it's about keeping people safe.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that more than just on stage?
Yeah, and I mean, I also argue too that stage combat, even for enthusiasts, it's something that it's a skill to learn that's empowering, and it's also a tool towards navigating your own consent, autonomy, and agency. You get to learn your body, you get to listen to your body, you get to listen to other people and collaborate with them and create art together. So it helps to develop interpersonal relationships, like you said. It's, and also, you get to express yourself through the exploration of movement in maybe some ways that dance and theatrical move, I mean, it is a theatrical movement that we teach, but in the same way that, you know, interpretive dance can be a tool for people to learn how to express themselves, stage combat is in that way too. It's just, you know, a little bit of a different aesthetic. Because there's swords.
Yeah, there's a very old stage expression about musical theater, and why you sing and dance in musical theater, and you know when you can't talk anymore you sing, and when you can't move anymore you dance, and for us it's when you can't talk anymore you yell, and when you can't move anymore you punch somebody in the head, but you know safely
yeah.
and correctly. But it's a choice that you can make as a performer, and we like to help explore. That, you know, those darker, more deep-seated, I don't want to say natural, what's the word?
The more visceral.
Visceral, that's a great
yeah,
word.
Yeah, more visceral.
A visceral choice
mm-hmm.
that you should be able to make, but you should be able to do safely to protect yourself and the other people on stage and everybody else around you.
All well said. You know, I want to circle back around real quick because I want to ask you why is it important to go to a school such as yours and be trained by somebody that's SAFD, SAFD, trained?
SAFD is, that's a good bit.
That's
and
pretty good.
probably was thought of when the organization was created back in the 80s, I want to say. I think it's the 80s. I'm pretty sure it's the
80s. So then can we say Fight Directors Canada, the FDC is Fight Safety? Fight Safety.
So it is SAFD. But, I mean, the simplest reason to learn from somebody who's trained to do it is because we already did all the hard work. Like, people in the organization have already gone through and been like, how do I make this safe? How do I make this look believable? How do I, you know, make sure that everything is right and correct? And we've already done the hard work, like sitting there and trying to figure it out yourself, or, you know, like, oh, I'm, you know, coming from, you know, the world of martial arts, how do I turn that into something I can put on stage for observation? We've already done a lot of that work from multiple disciplines, because a lot of the members of the organization have come up from studying fencing, from studying different Eastern martial arts, different Western martial arts, and it's a very exciting time for a couple of reasons. Some of the old 15th and 16th century manuals of fence from Europe are finally being translated into a language that we can read, from, you know, old German, Middle English, that kind of stuff. And it's how do we now we can understand what people are talking about, and how do we take that and put that on stage and make it look real but safe and theatrical? And we've already done that stuff. So the best reason to come learn from someone who's already done it is that all the hard work has been done for you, and it's just like, here's how you do it. You don't have to figure it out yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just kind of the standing on the shoulders of giants thing. Like,
standing on the shoulders of tall people. Yeah. I don't want to buff up giants. The SAFD, the organization, is a very, we're all theater kids. We're all fight nerds. We're all very, like, close and friendly with each other. So the community is large, but it is very, there's a lot of good-natured ribbing.
Well, you know, I've got to say, this has been really, really fun. This has been great talking to the two of you. And I think this is totally off the record. Do you know, or have you heard of the a service called Scener? Nope.
No, really.
So it's like a movie sharing platform. So we would watch movies together. You're in Philly and I'm over here in Washington State. And you have options either having a side view panel with your webcam, and you could pause and talk about it, or you could do text. I used to do this Saturday morning matinee thing and watch the Apple Dumpling Gang and just invite people, or it's just an open thing. It would be fun to watch a fight thing, or you could do that with your entire class. They can all join in. Wouldn't that be cool? And you can record
it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But I just wanted to ask, is there anything else that you two wanted to add to today's show? I mean, I know we kind of sidetracked off of stuff, but I just want to stress the importance and the fact that you do have a school available for folks to go to in the Philly area. And there's a lot of historical reenactments and things like that happen. So I would think that your school is the perfect place to go to learn these things safely. And if you just have an interest to go there to be in a community of like-minded, good people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, folks can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on whatever the Bird app is called nowadays, either Twitter or X, I'm not quite sure.
It's Twitter.
It is. Like, it's not catching on. Sorry, Elon. I mean, sorry, not sorry. But yeah, our handle on all of those is Argent Combat. Our website is www.argentcombat.com, and you can find all of our courses on our Eventbrite. Our class that we're teaching in Small Sword on UPenn's campus is, we only have like two spaces left, so.
Yeah, filling up.
Filling up real fast. But I would like for us to do another Taste of Violence sometime in November.
Yeah, so we do, we teach a long form course over the course of several months to get the whole course of study, but we occasionally do just a little, like a couple hours on a Saturday and a Sunday just to do a couple of different disciplines that we call a taste of violence, just because it gets you a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of how this works. And if it's something that you're interested in but you don't want to commit to your next couple of months, just, you know, it's something to come in and just be like, oh, how I can just have a little. Oh, do I like this? Yes. How can I get a little more? And then we give you a little more.
Yeah, so I would like to do another Taste of Violence in November, but all the info on courses that we're offering is going to be on our Eventbrite page. And same thing, just look up Argent Combat on Eventbrite and you'll find us.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Brittany and Oliver.